You're listening to a show recorded at the Young Carers Festival 2019. My name's Grant Francis, and I'm joined by a host of young carers quizzing Caroline Dynage, the Minister of State for Care. Here's Aaron asking Caroline about the support given for young carers transitioning into adulthood.
That would be the transition between young carers and young out carers, how there is that gap in that not every or most young carers transfer over. That is either because they're either still in sixth form or haven't been informed about it. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't happen, Aaron. You're right that it is. So there's supposed to be a kind of transition meeting, a transition plan that's drawn up by local authorities for every single one of the young carers that are, you know, in their local area. But we know from some of these studies we've done this year have been so valuable. You have to really understand the scale of the issue before you can start solving it. And we've found out that sort of somewhere between 30 and 40% only of young carers are actually having those transition meetings. So that's one of the recommendations that will come out of the work we're doing now, so that local authorities will be asked and in some cases told to really raise their game when it comes to, first of all, identifying young carers, and then being able to plan their that really difficult transition period into adulthood.
Growing up is tough. It's even harder growing up as a young carer. Right. So that move into being an adult, it's all of a sudden everything stops. You know, the being a young carer, the care groups just end. Yeah. And it's really difficult for some of these guys. Sammy is sat here. And Sammy, you were having some questions earlier about how you can deal more closely with doctors and the NHS and getting results more quickly. Yeah. And continued help. You look after who at home?
My mum.
Okay. And from our conversation previously, you said that the NHS were going to remove some of that care, which would put a greater burden on you. How did that feel to hear that news?
It was very, disappointing, in fact, heartbreaking, because I know that if they do take away the healthcare and I'm not home, for example, and she has a fit, her life is at risk. And they're trying to say, oh no, she doesn't have fits in the middle of the day. But we have proved that that is not correct.
This is a big worry for you, obviously. What's your reaction to that, Caroline?
No, I think that Sammy makes a very good point, and I can understand how he feels. And you said yourself, you know, it's hard enough growing up. I've got boys who are 16 and 11 myself, and I know the trials and tribulations of teenagehood and adolescence and puberty and all the other exciting things that we all have to go through. But to have to worry about things that Sammy's just spoken about, you know, on top of all that, is almost unimaginable. And that's why I think we do have to have a greater understanding. Now, you talked about doctors, and you know, as part of the Care Act, there should be as much recognition and as much rights around the carers as the cared for. We think that actually doctors and GPs have as big a role to play in identifying young carers as schools, for example, because often it's the young carers that are bringing their parents and loved ones into the GP surgery. So we think things like that are really important. Now, in terms of his mum's care package, that obviously is an enormous worry, and that will be down to how much money the local authority is getting to fund her care. So later on in the year, we've got what they call the spending review, which is a very unsexy thing, but it's done by the Chancellor of the Exchequer, where he works out how much money every local authority is going to get. And my department, the Department of Health, we're working very hard at the moment to make sure we encourage the Treasury to give as much money as possible to local authorities who are paying for adult social care, so that Sammy's mum gets the care that she needs.
And it doesn't get withdrawn. Was that going to help you, do you think?
Yes, it will.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Sammy. Chloe's here as a young adult carer. 18, you became a carer. Just tell me a bit about how that came about for you.
Yeah, so I was 3 weeks into university. I just got settled into my law degree with my committee and things like that. And I got a call one Sunday to say my brother had actually had an accident on the football pitch. He'd run headfirst into the goalkeeper. They'd collided heads and he had sustained a head injury. And so within that call, within that moment, I became a carer. And by the time I got home, back to the hospital in my hometown, my brother had actually forgotten who I was. So it's about rebuilding not only my sister relationship, but this new carer relationship as well.
What do you want to put to Caroline?
I think for me, I think it's really great. There's so much research to inform the practice and the action plan. And for me, that question is, what would be for you those measures of success? What are those key milestones to go, actually, we are moving forward in the right direction?
That's a really good question. And Chloe highlights the fact that often when you're caring for somebody, it's for something that might be a completely unseen. So it may be a head injury, and I've done a lot of work with the organisation Headway, who support those with head injuries. But often, you know, it could be a mental health condition, it could be a drug and alcohol condition, and sometimes it's really even harder for people who are caring for those who are struggling with those sort of conditions, because those around them can't necessarily see. The work that they're doing, and that I think makes it more difficult to identify them. So for me, I never want to hear a story like Charlie said, you know, that he was caring for 4 years before anyone knew he was a young carer. And I've had so many conversations over the last year and a half with young carers who have said to me that, you know, they went all the way through school and school just thought they were being naughty and not handing their homework in on time or missing days because they weren't great students rather than because they had caring responsibilities. And one day I'd like to come to this festival and have everyone saying to me, Caroline, it's working really well, thanks very much, nothing else for you to do, go on then, go and make yourself a nice headband and go on the paddleboard.
Well, we can certainly get you on the paddleboard. That's not a problem at all. It says here in the action plan, we will conduct a review of best practice in identification of young carers and access to support. But where's this support going to come from?
Well, it's got to be, the support can't just come from one organisation. This is the whole point, you know, in order to support young people, in fact, carers of whatever age they are, the whole of society has to help identify them, recognise them and come together to support them. So that's got to be health and care professionals, so that's like GPs and the local authority, adult social care, like we spoke to Sammy about. It's got to be schools and teachers, and but actually we want the whole of society to be a lot more aware about what some of our young people are doing, you know, some of the responsibilities that they're taking on. And it does my head in when sometimes you hear people going, oh, young people these days are terribly irresponsible, aren't they? They do, you know, they're wild, they don't do anything for anybody else. And I just say, my God, goodness me, you know, you should meet some of the young people that I get the pleasure of meeting up and down the country who are doing such amazing things to change people's lives. And, you know, and I just want it's got to be a community recognition as well.
So the theme of this year's festival is Fit for the Future, and a lot of that covers the transition between being a young carer to a young adult carer, changing from being a young person to an adult. And part of that is leaving home, it's moving out. And Alicia's got some questions regarding finding housing as a young person.
Yeah, with being a young carer and trying to move into your own accommodation and have independence, what support is there and how is it implemented?
So thanks, Alicia. So actually, as part of this transition meeting that I spoke about earlier, that local authorities need to be having with young carers, that should be one of the things that comes up, how we plan the future of housing. But as I already mentioned, we know that less than half of young carers are having those conversations with local authorities at the moment. But that should be where the conversation starts, because it's, you know, the local authority have housing stock at their disposal. They have people with the expertise and the ability to be able to plan the future. And at the very least, those conversations should be taking place, and people should be having, you know, the ability to be able to share their concerns.
You're listening to Question Time, a special show recorded at the Young Carers Festival at the end of June 2019. We'll be back in a few moments' time with Abby, who'll be talking to Caroline Dynage, the Minister of State for Care, about her life as a young carer, which began pretty much the moment she learned how to walk.